Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this worship service. Thank you so much for being here. I've never preached an eclipse sermon before. So this morning, I'm checking one off the bucket list because I want to talk about this eclipse. Have you heard about this thing? It is, it's coming soon. And it apparently is going to be a really, 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 really big deal. Governmental agencies, my wife tells me all this information, so pardon if I don't have proper citation, but she said that they said we have to have food and water and cash all at the same time, you know, and traffic's going to be crazy, and a lot of people will be coming to the upstate to see this eclipse. If you want to save yourself a little bit of hassle, this is what it's going to look like on the screen behind me. That's it. Julie said, man, I kind of want to go somewhere and listen to a program about it and then see it. And I said, how about we stay at the house and fire up YouTube and watch something on there and look out the back window and see it. I like that idea a bit more. I want to talk about this. You know, an eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun and blocks out the sun, the S-U-N. Well, this morning in my eclipse sermon, I want to talk about things that block out the sun, the S-O-N. I want to talk about things that block Jesus from our lives if we're not careful. I have a list. It's a small list. Maybe we'll do this next Sunday too, you know, because we potentially could have some people visiting here with us from out of town to see this thing. This is by no means a comprehensive list. A full list would be miles and miles and miles long. But there are some things that are on my list that block out the sun, the S-O-N. And the first of those things is worry. Worry. Sometimes I worry that I talk too much about worry, you know. But then I realize, man, there are a lot of things to be worried about. There are a lot of things that people are worried about. I know this. This is a crazy world that we live in. And some might have geopolitical fears, you know. What's going to happen if this country does something crazy against this country, and then this country over here gets involved, and then this country over here. What's that going to look like? What's going to happen if one of those little things happens? That's, I think, a legitimate concern. People worry about saving money for college, saving money for retirement, the general state of the economy. People worry about others maybe not liking me. Oh, if I do this, someone's not going to like me, and they worry about that. I have a preacher friend of mine who told me, Dustin, over this summer, I have noticed that Christians are going off on vacation and skipping church, and he knew that was happening, but and he says they have the nerve to post on Facebook that they are at places other than worship during worship hours, you know, like just blatant. And he said, so I've been writing bulletin articles about that. I've mentioned it a couple of times in sermons, and I asked him, how's that working? You know, how's it going? He said, well, they've all unfriended me from Facebook, and they don't talk to me anymore. So he doesn't know really what kind of impact he's having, but it's a legitimate worry by some people. You know, what is this person going to think about me? And what if I don't look like everybody else? You know, will I be made fun of? It's back to school season here in South Carolina. And that might be a concern from some people, maybe even some parents. You know, it's not just little kids and preachers and parents that kind of think this way. Peer pressure is a real thing for churches as well. And so some churches might think, well, if we do this or if we do that, will other people like us? Will they get mad at us? Will they talk about us? That's a worry that some people have. It's a big worry. I know it is. And then, of course, there are things like food and shelter, you know, that we worry about. A man named Abraham Maslow. Have you heard of him? Maybe not by his first and last name, but you've heard, I believe, of this hierarchy of needs that he's made. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You heard about that? And as basic needs, Mr. Maslow puts things like food and water and shelter and upper tier needs are like companionship and friendship and social outlets. The Lord comes and he tells us in Matthew chapter 6, which I'd invite you to open your Bibles to, and let's take a peek at Matthew chapter 6 together. It's a wonderful, wonderful treatise, really, on the Christian and worry. Matthew chapter 6 is where we find Jesus telling us not to worry about certain things. Matthew 6 verse 19, I believe, is where it all gets started. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys. I loved what Clint said as our thoughts were directed toward the giving of our means. I've never really thought about it that way. And what an amazing concept, right? Not to worry about keeping up with the Joneses, you know, not to be consumed with consumerism. We live in a consumer-based society. I know you know that. But that means that people are, you know, all sorts of people are trying to make their money off of us, you know, buy the newest and most improved this, buy the latest and greatest that, and you've lived in this kind of house for a little while, now aren't you ready to upgrade to a fancier one? You've driven this kind of car for enough years, aren't you ready to get something nicer and better? And that's consumerism, you know, and it is a prevailing ideology right here where we all live. And it seems, I don't know, it may seem harmless. It may not seem harmless at times, but it seems like a self-reward, you know, doesn't it? You've worked so hard, you've saved so much money. Now give all of that money that you've saved and lots more for the next 5, 6, 10, 30 years. Give all that money that you've worked so hard to save and a whole bunch more that's going to come after it, so that you can feel accomplished and so that you can feel good. It may seem harmless. I don't know. It's not really harmless once you dig down past a few of the initial layers. But it's really a way of life that promotes unhappiness. The mask that it wears is, oh, this will make you happy. You've had your old cell phone for 12 months. Pshaw, 12 months. Your cell phone is so old. You need a new cell phone. You need something better. And just in time for the holiday season, we have exactly what you need, you know? And then so the average person out there kind of processing all this is like, yeah, I do need something else. I do need, you know, the TV's telling me that I need a nicer cell phone. The TV's telling me that I need a newer gadget in my life. My friends, family, maybe they're telling me I need a nicer car, newer house, a bigger this, a better that. And so here we go. And it is an unending process. It is an unending process. I'm sure you've lived long enough to discover this for yourself. When you get that new thing, guess what? There's another new thing that comes with it, you know? Now you have to get a new one of these to go with the new one of those that you got. And the new thing that you got, it ain't going to be new in a couple of years. So get ready to have to get another new one. And all of this wears the mask of, hey, we just want to make you happy. We want you to enjoy all the best, you know. A lady in Walmart the other day, she tried to get me to switch to DirecTV. She said, do you have a 4K TV? And I said, yeah, I don't really know if I have a 4K TV or not. But I said, kinda, yeah, I think so, you know. And she said, man, our product is the only one that lets you watch a 4K picture on a 4K TV. And I didn't even know if, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I didn't know if I had a 4K TV, and if I did, I'm definitely missing out on something, according to her. And she just wants to sign me up for a new service. Of course it's going to save me money. This was our little secret. You know, this is going to save me lots of money and make me and my family so much happier if we just kind of change the whole way we watch TV. And these things are unending, right? They are unending. They never, ever stop. And if you hop aboard and ride this train, you will never be happy. How could you? If you live the life that everybody else wants you to live, how could you possibly be happy? How could you possibly be happy? Because they all want you to do something different, you know. So Jesus says, don't worry about these things. They all belong to God anyway, like Clint told us. They all belong to God anyway. And verse 21, what you spend your time thinking about so much is a signal to God of what you love. Where your treasure is, your heart is there also. Where does God want your heart? God wants your heart to be with Him. So think about Him. Do not worry again, Jesus says, Matthew 6:25. There it is again. Don't worry. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Jesus says, Matthew 6:25, your life is more than food. Your body's more than clothing. Don't worry about these things. Abraham Maslow says these are essential needs. These are basic needs. Food, shelter, clothing. I mean, this is what you gotta need. You have to have this. Jesus says, don't worry about that obsessively. That's a hard lesson. It's a really, really hard lesson. And unless we learn it, our worry is going to block out the S-O-N, sun. You know, the moon, the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun. How about that? The moon is 400 times smaller than the sun. But if you put the moon just right and you look at it just so, that itty-bitty 400 times smaller moon can block out the sun. If you hold it just right and it's there in just the right position, the smaller moon can block out the much, much, much larger sun. Your worries, whatever they may be, your worries are at least 400 times smaller than Jesus. But if you put those worries right here in front of your eyes so that you can see nothing else, those much, much, much smaller worries and concerns that we have daily, they will block out the sun and keep us from seeing Jesus in our life. Worry is something that blocks out the sun. Personal ideology. I didn't know what to call this, so I called it personal ideology. Having to have our own way, selfishness was another idea I had for calling this thing. Pride, it's a bit of pride too. Look at Romans chapter 15, I'll show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15 verse 1, the magnificent apostle Paul, who speaks and writes the words of Christ, says that we who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Romans 15:2, let each of us please his brother for his good, leading to edification. Romans 15 verses 1 and 2. And know, as you read Romans 15:2, that edification means being built up in the Lord. Edification doesn't mean feeling happy, feeling good. Being edification is not the same thing as encouragement. And sometimes we think that it is, and we think that we have to do whatever would encourage the other person. That's not Romans 15:2. Romans 15:2 is We have to do the things that will build the other person up in the Lord. And sometimes what builds somebody up in the Lord is, you know, saying something that's not pleasant. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter sought vigorously to build those people up in the Lord. And that's why he had to say some of those things. Some of those things that might be considered mean or maybe even unloving. Peter said, "You have killed Jesus. You have crucified him. You need to change what you're doing." That doesn't make me happy. When somebody says, "You need to change what you're doing," that doesn't make me happy. But if that person says that and he's presenting the Bible, that makes me built up in the Lord. So Paul says, we need to do things that will promote the edification of another, right? So we don't focus so much on bringing somebody down. We focus on what the Lord wants us to do, and we don't run what the Lord wants us to do through our own preferences. Romans chapter 15 is the conclusion of a discussion that the Apostle Paul has not once but twice in Scripture. One of those times is Romans chapter 14, and the topic of discussion is eating meats offered to idols. Eating meats offered to idols was a major consideration for Christians, and Paul addresses it in Romans chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. He says that one believes it's okay to eat these meats, another believes that it's not okay to eat these meats. We have to make sure that we are considerate. We have to make sure that in these matters, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, in these kind of situations are ones where no principle of Scripture is being violated, no command is being broken. So God was ambivalent on eating meats offered to idols. That's the truth. It didn't matter to God whether you ate meat offered to idols or not. But it mattered to some Christians, and that's okay. That's all right. But the whole thing had to be managed in a way that maintained the number one goal. And the number one goal is to make God happy. And not necessarily to please myself. Hey, I happen to think the world would be magnificent if everybody was just like me, right? And you likely feel the same way about yourself. The problem is there are so many people different from me. You know, if everybody was more like me, it'd be perfect. Because we, generally speaking, have a very, very, very favorable impression of ourselves. And at times, that skews our ideology if we're not careful. There were a lot of things wrong with the Pharisees during Jesus' time. But this is certainly one big thing that was wrong with the Pharisees during Jesus' time, is that they filtered all of the commandments and all of the instructions. They filtered those through their own personal likes and dislikes. And so, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says they teach vainly, they worship vainly, because they teach as doctrine the commandments of men. We obviously need to make sure that we don't do that sort of thing today. We need to make sure that we learn this ancient lesson and that we don't filter all of God's instructions through our own personal set of likes and dislikes, because that forces everyone to do what I want them to do, and that's not the religion of Christ. We all seek to please God. And in pleasing God, there may be some things that one person feels okay to do and another person feels it's not okay to do. I have to say again, I am not talking about doctrinal matters, right? What I'm not talking about is, for example, baptism or marriage, divorce, or remarriage or instrumental music. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is maybe having a fellowship hall at a church building. What kind of music I'm going to listen to in my house, that might be something that I'm talking about. What kind of organizational, below elders, obviously, what kind of organizational model below elders a congregation is going to adhere to? These things. These are things that I'm talking about. Not doctrinal matters. Not doctrinal matters. Clear enough on that? I want to make very, very sure that what I'm not saying doesn't get planted in your minds. Because what the Apostle Paul is saying is very important, and this is the kind of thing that blocks out the sun, because it forces people to only do what is acceptable in someone else's personal ideology. This issue of eating meats offered to idols is a big one. Not so much now. It makes it really a wonderful case for us to study, because it is no longer an issue today, and so we can study it in an unemotional kind of way. But there were some who thought they should have nothing to do with these meats. There were others who thought meat's meat. And that was the position that Paul takes. There were some who thought that, but the main thing was to keep Christ first and to conduct yourself within whatever set of beliefs you had on the opinion matter, to conduct yourself in a spirit of Christian decorum and Christian courtesy, and not to become belligerent with what you think in one of these kind of matters. And unfortunately, some Christians were attacking others because they had a different personal view of things than they had. And that wasn't right. Paul says, we need to build each other up in the Lord. We are all supposed to mimic the Lord, not the preacher, not the elders, not the deacons, not the Bible class teachers, not one another. We are supposed to mimic the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul is very decisive on the matter. He says, you follow me, but you follow me with this important caveat. You follow me as I am following Christ. Because no man can block out the sun, the S-O-N. No man should block out the sun from our minds. No matter of opinion should block out the sun, the S-O-N, from our minds. We need to see clearly Jesus in our lives and set aside anything that might obstruct our view. Another thing that blocks out the sun, I didn't know what to call this one either. Power, liberty, freedom. I wrote on my sermon notes, just a nice comfort, a reprieve, a respite. This, if we're not careful, will block out the sun. You remember Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. How can we forget Pharaoh? Moses comes into Pharaoh's house and says, you need to let God's people go. And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? Now, sitting on his golden throne, wearing his expensive kingly robes, I'm sure he had forgotten entirely about who the Lord was. And that's my point. We need to make sure that our comfortable lives, with all of our amenities and features and niceties, do not block out the Lord from our lives. Have you heard very much about Herod? No, you haven't. Acts chapter 12, because he died. Because he preached, gave a speech, and it was a really good speech, and people said, "This is the voice of a God and not a man." And Herod, he kind of basked in that glory. He basked in that glory a little too long, as a matter of fact, and the Lord killed him because he gave not God the glory. Not giving God glory in our life definitely blocks out the sun, causes us not to see Jesus, but even worse, it causes others not to see Jesus. It causes others not to see Jesus. I think about the children of Israel during the time of the judges. Do you remember this episode in their life where they had adversity, they called to God, God rescued them, and then things got nice, things got comfortable, things got cool for the children of Israel, and they became complacent. And every time they became complacent, they pushed God farther and farther and farther away from their thoughts. If we're not careful, the peace and the freedom, the relative security that we enjoy, physical security, economic security, all of these things that we think are so certain, all of these things that we think will bless us for generations to come, these things will distract us from the Lord. And will even pass before the sun and block Jesus out from our lives if we're not careful. I preach a sermon like this because I want to encourage us. I want to remind us of how we need to live so that we can continue putting Jesus first. There are a lot of things vying for our attention. And if we're not careful, we will give these our utmost attention, and the Lord will suffer, and His influence in our life will lessen, and the Lord, the Lord's cause here on earth will slow down and grow cold. So we need to make sure that we don't let anything block out the sun, the S-O-N, in our lives, that we put Jesus first, that we make sure that He's there, that He stays there, that position is secure, that nothing's going to block Him out. We're going to stay focused on Him, as Hebrews chapter 12 encourages us to do, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Speaking of that faith, are you a holder of it this morning? Is that faith yours? I hope so. I hope so, but possibly not. In which case, we want to invite you to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If we can help you with that this morning, it would be our honor and pleasure to do so. If you have already obeyed that plan of salvation, obeyed that gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, if you've already done that, but your faith is not where it needs to be, you need to repent of something as a child of God so that your life can be back on track with Him. We want to help you with that too. And we invite you to let us know how we can help while we stand and sing, "Won't You Come, Please?"
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.